I'm excited about what God has in store for us as his people. Every day that we live our lives, we live to showcase what he has done in us and with us. When I think about my life, I recognize that I wouldn't be where I am today if it weren't for the grace of God. Only the grace of God made it possible for one who was totally defeated by satanic forces without control or any kind of sanity to put my life together, that God could step into my life and tweak it and turn it around. I am certain that you may also have the same testimony. The best of it is that there are people who did not live in the world, get themselves drunk, and were comatose from drinking. They didn't live that kind of a life. Thank God for those people that they did not live that kind of a defeated life, but I have my testimony that God can turn a life around. And when I think about Christmas, I'm reminded of that reality, that there is a God who sees us where we are and did not leave us where we are, but saw a vision, a greater, better vision for us, and did not just see it as a vision, a dream, something to wish for, but that he was able to come where we were, take a hold of us, and carried us when we could not carry ourselves because we're too obese in our sins. God could trim all the excesses out of our lives and take us step by step by step by step to a new place because he has a greater purpose for every one of us. That is the goodness of God. I don't know where you are. I don't know what you've been through, what your experiences have been, good, bad, or ugly. But this one thing I can confidently say, that there is a God who loves us so passionately. So the word of God says in John chapter 3 and verse 16, God so loved the world. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, thank God I am part of that whosoever. I don't know about you, but I became part of that whosoever when I believed in him. And he says, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everlasting life. Oh, yes. Everlasting life. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, the story starts out this way. It says, nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in the Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them had the light shined. The people that walked in darkness. This is why Jesus came. He came for those people that are in a state of darkness. I know verse 1 talks about the affliction. This is God's way of bringing us to a place where we recognize that we have a need. Because if we are not, if God does not allow us to feel the heat, we don't learn how to remind ourselves that fire burns us. If God does not allow you to go and hit rock bottom, you don't recognize that something better can be made available. But he says it was a light affliction. But God then said, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. The Bible tells us that the God of this world blinds people so that they do not see. But God says, the people that walked in darkness have seen. Because God today will cause the scales of blindness to fall off of the eyes of men and women. I don't know who's listening to me right now, but I believe that God is removing the scales of blindness off of you so see the great light that God is showing. He says, they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them had the light shined. David said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because one, Lord, you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Verse 3 goes on. Says, thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. The joy before thee according to the joy in the harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. How awesome. Look at it again. Look at it. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. Sounds like something bad. But God says, I did that so that you recognize when the joy comes. You are where you are right now, defeated, struggling, so that when you see freedom, you gravitate to it and want it. It says, the joy, they joy before thee according to the joy of in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Contrast. You are multiplied. It looked like things were going well for you. Everything was going well, but there's no joy. It was empty. This is a person who seems to be successful in life. You may be doing well in life. Your business is doing well. Everything is doing well, but there is no joy on the inside. This is God's way of calling you and saying, there is more to life than material stuff. It's not just a person who is defeated and knocked out, no way of getting ahead in life that God came for. He came for those people that seem to have it all. But find out, I have nothing. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. And verse 5 says, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. What is God saying? If you don't take heed to what I am doing for you and how I am trying to save you, you're going to find yourself in a state of confusion, blooded. And he says, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. In other words, there will be hell to pay. But aren't you glad about verse 6? For unto us, so that we don't end up in hell, in a bloody mess, for unto us is born a child is born, unto us a son is given. The answer of God to all the mess, the God who knows. It's an arrogant fool that thinks he knows better than God. There is a hell made, prepared for the devil. It's not for me. It's not for you. God gives us a way out. He says, I know that you're in a state of darkness. And I wanted you to know and recognize that you are in a messy situation so that when I show you the good, you can choose good. I know that you are in a state where things seem to be all together, but when you look on the inside, there's an emptiness because there's no joy. So that when you see real joy, you can choose it. But if you elect not to do so, that's what you got. But I have a solution. And the solution came to us at the time of Christmas. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who is this? The Bible is telling us about the one we call the Messiah. The one we call the Christ. The perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. It's talking to us about Jesus. Jesus is the true reason you and I are here, saved. Because God so loved us. Listen, the Bible tells us that this Jesus was born in a manger where the sheep were. Why was he born there? Because he is the Lamb of God. There's no other place he could have been born. Lambs get born where sheep do their thing. He came to be the Lamb of God. This is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Who is he? He's wonderful. I don't know if you've known the wonderfulness of God, but he's wonderful. And he wants to be that for us. He's a counselor. When you are mesmerized with the issues of life, there is one who walks alongside of you to speak to you, to embolden you, to encourage you, to give you direction and guidance and show you the way of life because he's been there. He knows the beginning to the end. You know, in the journey of life, your GPS generally cannot tell you where the detours are when you start your journey. But if you have a good GPS, that GPS knows where you are going and is connected to a satellite that knows about the traffic situation. You know, there have been times when I've argued with my GPS and finally decided you were right. Because it saw the accident that happened 2 kilometers away and knows that if I continue on this path, I'm going to be stuck in the traffic And so it tells me, turn right here. But this is not the road we normally take. I've learned when that GPS says, go this way, because you have a good GPS. If you have the old-fashioned GPS, don't go. You might end up somewhere else that you don't belong. But if you have the real one that is really checking on stuff, it tells you the traffic flow and the best way to go, even though that doesn't seem to be the right way that you used to follow in the past. There is a counselor who comes alongside of you and says, yeah, you used to do it this way, but this time, do this. I have missed so many bullets in this life by not being in the right place at the wrong time. Let me say that again. Being in the right place at the wrong time. Because you've got a counselor who comes alongside and begins to minister to you. He's a mighty God. Because he will strangle every demonic force that comes around you to try to intimidate you. He comes and becomes your champion. He's a mighty God. The everlasting Father, the one who will never give up on you, who is there like the father of the prodigal, who knows that you've gone wrong, but is waiting, because he knows what he has invested in you. I have put inside of you an incorruptible seed. My child, you will never be destroyed by the devil. I am your Father. He's your everlasting Father. Hallelujah. Your everlasting Father who will never give up on you. I thank God for this God who has loved me with an everlasting love, because he's my everlasting Father. And then it says the Prince of Peace. Oh, somebody shout hallelujah. The Prince of Peace. Huh? No matter what is going on, I've got one who is the Prince of Peace. You know why he's the Prince of Peace? Because he's the son of a father who is the father of peace. God has come to make peace between us. That means there are no walls of division, of separation between us and God. God came to break that wall down and say, I don't care what you've been doing, where you have been, who you've been messing with, and whatever else has happened, I am here, I am your Father, I will clean you up, I will make you whole, I will restore you, I will take you out of this dust bin, I will take you out of this dung hill, I will restore you, and I will establish you with princes. That is the faithfulness of God. You know, somebody, if you had been in my house this year, you would have noticed something strange. Some of my Christmas ornaments from last December were not moved. And Mama would say to me, take those things out. This is not Christmas. Take the trees were gone, but all those fancy balls, I left them there. And every time I'm thinking of, what's this? Leave it there. And finally it dawned on me when from last Christmas to now this Christmas, Mama was saying to me, it is almost Christmas. And those things are still there. And I heard it deep within my spirit. Every day is Christmas Day. That's why I was so not removing those things that I should remove. God wanted me to remind myself, it's Christmas Day. Every day. Every day. Every day is a God day. Every day is a blessed day. Every day is a day that God has made for me to rejoice and be glad. I will not stay in the camp of the grieved. I will not stay in the camp of the defeated. I will not stay in the place of darkness. My eyes are opened. I see this glorious light of the living God, and I walk out of darkness. Even the place where I was that was dark, light has come there. God is a good God, and He's making great things happen in my life. I shout hallelujah. Glory be to God. The faithfulness of God. He's a Prince of Peace. But I like the next verse. Oh, my Lord. It says, of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it. Ay, 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 ay. To order it. To establish it with judgment. And with justice. From henceforth. Somebody say henceforth. That means from now on. Even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is what God is going to do. There is going to be a government. This government is a government of peace. And there's no end to it. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom to order it. God is going to put everything in its proper order. God is going to put everything in your life in proper order. He's going to establish every area of your life with judgment and with justice. You know, when many times as believers we read the word judgment, we think about God coming to clobber people. No, what judgment? Every time you read the word judgment, you should celebrate. So why? Because judgment means that God is stepping into your situation, and by the extension of mercy, He's putting things in order for your good. The judgment of God causes me to experience the deliverance and the freedom that God has orchestrated already for my life. Hallelujah. So when I see judgment, I celebrate, because it means that God is coming and He's arresting every diabolical force, every sabotaging spirit, every lying spirit, and putting everything where it belongs, under my feet. Hallelujah. God is fighting for you. He's a God of justice. The thing about the justice of God is that it's not fair for the devil, but it's fair for me. Because God favors me. Hallelujah. God favors me. Someone say, God favors me. Now, God will discipline you. The word of God says, those that God loves, He chastises. But the chastisement of God is not to reduce me. The chastisement of God is to better me. And He says, this is going to happen from henceforth. And the zeal, the passion, the drive of God is going to perform this. I am committed to making life better for you. I am committed to making you great. I'm committed to make you head and not tail, above only and not beneath. Why? I love you. I love you. Will you and I receive the love of God? Accept the love of God. Embrace the love of God. And walk with the love of God. That is crucial. God cannot do that for you. You have to do that yourself. Why is the government upon his shoulders? Because God is calling you and I into a partnership with him. Everything God does, he did not do for himself. He did it for me and for you. God needs nothing. God needs nothing. If God ever needed anything, he can make it. It's just a matter of saying something. For everything that is came out of his breath of his mouth. He spoke it into place. God doesn't need to go work to get a pay. He doesn't need anything. He can breathe it out. But God elected and decided that he needed me and he needed you. Jesus is going to go to the cross and it's at the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's talking about, take this cup from me. But then when he saw the joy that was set before him, he neglected the cross and he said, I love him. I love John. I love all of them. And I don't care what pain is going to face me. I want every single one of them. I will even go to hell for them. And he did. And he came back with you. Don't go back to hell. Come out in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout hallelujah. Amen. This is the word that the Lord has placed in my spirit for you today. This is to remind you. There's a God who loves you, who wants the best for you. Don't shove him away. Embrace him. Your life is not complete without him. You may be the richest man on the planet, but if you don't have him, you have nothing. You have nothing. Zilch. Nothing. The pharaohs were buried with great wealth. And shortly after they were buried, somebody came and stole all that gold and all those precious stones. Thousands of years later, people are still excavating and doing archaeological work. And the Pharaoh is dead and gone. And all that gold and all that silver and all that precious stones that were buried with them are now being taken and put in some museum somewhere. They didn't take anything. You can't take anything from this world. But you have an everlasting soul. That will last forever. That will continue. So I say to everyone listening to me right now, those that are listening by streaming, those that are listening on a video, listening on Facebook, listening in whatever medium you're listening, and those that are here today, make the wisest decision you can ever make. Don't ever think that stuff will save you. Only Jesus saves. He is the only one that is the currency for exchange. I don't care to be politically correct. Buddha will not do it for you. Mohammed will not do this for you. Shintoism will not do this for you. Hinduism will not do this for you. No religious belief system is going to do this. True enlightenment is not some fake light. True enlightenment is when the light of God shines on your life. Be wise. Isaiah 9:5 talks about there is fire. I know that's not popular to share. Nobody wants to talk about hellfire. There is hellfire. There's a real hell. And God says, I don't want you to go there. Bow your heads with me. I don't know who I'm talking to today. But I know I've presented to you the word that the Lord has placed in my spirit for us today. You may be on the other side of this camera, or you may be right here in this house today. If there is anyone in this place today who hasn't given their lives to the living God, you've not allowed yourself to be led out of this dark place, and today you've heard the word of God and say, you know what? I'm going to make the decision to give my life to God. If you're here today and you want to make that decision, I'd like to stand with you. Just raise your right hand and say, you know what? I want to turn my life to God. I want to give my life to God. You may be on the other side of this camera. You may be here this evening. God says, whosoever will may come. Are you going to be that whosoever that's going to believe him today? If you are, raise your hand. Okay. I don't see anyone this evening with raised hands. So I'm going to assume that everyone here today has given their lives to God. Amen? Let's give God praise. Is that hand been raised over there? You raising your hands? Well, praise the Lord. I thank God for you both for making that commitment. Will you do me a favor? And do yourself a favor also. Let's stand together. Just come stand here with me. I want to pray with you. Come on. Come on. Stand up for Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. A young couple. Ah, this is your daughter? Amen. I'm so glad that you came and made this decision today. I want to assure you that it is going to be the wisest, smartest decision you've ever made. The greatest decision. There is no other decision that you are going to make ever again that's going to be greater than this decision that you just made now. Because this decision you just made now is going to not only trump every other decision, but it's going to be the decision that helps you to see every other decision you're going to make in life clearly. So I thank God for you. I celebrate you. And not only do I and everyone else here celebrate you, the angels are celebrating right now. The kingdom of God is having a blast off party right this very moment because of you. You are that important. Let me put it this way to you. I said Jesus is a currency of exchange. What Jesus did in taking your place was that God exchanged places with you. So God gave you the value of himself. God, the creator of the universe, gave you the value of himself. He says, you are worth the price of me. That changes everything. I don't care who called me a fool, called me crazy. You're not going to go anywhere with your life. I don't care what anybody has to say. The one who knows thinks I am worth it. That's amazing. Don't you think so? Hallelujah. So repeat, everybody rise with me. Let's stand with this wonderful couple right now. Repeat after me these words. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I don't know you yet as I should, but I know you are going to reveal yourself to me. I am willing to listen. I'm willing to learn. I'm willing to grow. So help me. I ask you now, be my Lord and be my Savior. Turn my life around for your glory and your honor. In Jesus' name, I ask it. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Let's give them a good clap offering.